Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to the next step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 274. This is a podcast about life and love while looking at the very fabric of our being through the most ancient of all Christian traditions, Armenian Orthodoxy. Polished up for today, of course. That polished look is an Armadox look. So take it with us. Relax. Don't check your brain in at the door, as the young lady said. Come and set a spell. Have a great time. This is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Don't those feet sound nice? Yes. I know. Rub it in. I know our feet won't be sounding that good. We are getting ready to run, walk, whatever it takes to get through 39.3 miles this weekend. It is the Avon Breast Cancer Walk, and I'm very proud and honored to be part of that. I'm going to be putting my feet one in front of the other to complete this 39.3, let's say 39 plus journey. But I know. Let me translate it. I know we have a big contingency of non-mile people out there. That is almost like 63.24 kilometers. That's what we're going to be walking this weekend. It actually translates to 1.5 marathons. That's where that number comes from. So the first day of the walk, we actually walked 26.2 miles. And then on the second day, we walked 13.1 mile. And altogether, 39.3. Yes, do the math. But what's important is we're going to be collecting money. Each of us that is walking has to, at a very minimum, collect $1,800. Yes, American dollars. Okay, translate that any way you want. That's mucho bucks. And we did it very beautifully. And I want to thank all of you who are listening to this show. And thank you that you participated. And I couldn't have done it without you. You're going to be getting an email from me. If I have your email, you'll get an email from me probably later tonight or tomorrow. And definitely, I'm carrying you with me. You're going to be with me in the walk, your names. And Saturday night, Sunday morning, we're going to do a very special prayer service for all of the people who have been troubled by cancer, people who have passed away, as well as people who have survived. And on top of that, I'm going to remember all of you that have participated becoming partners with me. So I'll be walking with you. You're going to be walking with me. And we're looking forward to a great, great walk. This is part of Team In Her Shoes, established a few years ago. And last year we were part of it. We had a pretty nice sized contingency. Now, some of them, instead of walking, they're going to be crewing. Others are going to be cheering on. And some of us are going to be walking. But one way or another, we're all going to be making it out to Santa Barbara to make a bold statement against cancer. You know, there are few things in life that I hate. Yes, I'll admit it. There are things that I hate. And I will use that word, hate. One of them is cancer. Cancer is just such a menace. If you've been hit by it like I have, you know that it leaves you unnerved, it messes you up. But also, I've seen so many families really be destroyed by this mutation. That's what it is. It's a mutation. And I could either let this mutation take care of me, or I could take care of it. And that's my call-in to this game. That's my calling, okay? I want to do something about it. I want to kill off cancer, and so I'm determined. Whether I walk this year, I walked last year, or whether I support. I've supported my sister, my wife, my niece, who have all been part of this Avon Walk for the last several years. And I'm very proud this year that I'm going to be walking again. God, give me the courage, give me the strength to be able to put one foot in front of the other and become part of the solution. I'm saying all this because this is today's topic. I'm going to be talking about becoming solution, part of the solution. And, you know, there's a beautiful saying that I've been kicking around in my head. And if you've caught last week's compass, it was very... It was right to the point. You know, it's easier, or let me say it's better, light a candle than to curse the darkness. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, being that candle. It is so easy to talk about the darkness, to curse the darkness. Take a case in point, cancer. Cancer, it's so easy to quote statistics, you know, 1 in 4, 1 in 3, 1 in 7, somebody's dying of cancer. My best friend, oh, my partner, what happened? Oh, they opened him up and there he was, riddled with cancer. And then you start cursing it, that awful cancer. Oh, too bad, too bad. They were a victim to cancer. Yeah, you could curse it. You can curse the darkness. Or you can light a candle. You can light a candle and say, hey, as powerful as cancer thinks it is, I am more powerful because guess what? I have God inside of me. What? I have God inside of you. How do you know? Well, what does Jesus say? He says, I am the light of the world. He says, as long as I'm in the world, there cannot be darkness. Well, let's experiment, okay? Okay, let's turn off the lights. Okay, now we're in darkness. Now light a match. Okay, there it is. Light your candle. Ah, now you see everything, right? As long as Christ is in the world, there cannot be darkness. Guess what? He now gives us the power. Remember on the Sermon on the Mount, how does it begin? He says, you are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Now you are the light of the world. Think of it. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. A city in a valley can be hid, but a city built on a hill cannot be hid. So too, light your candle, put it on the lampstand, and let the world see it. You are that light of the world. It's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. Now we talk about cancer. Let's talk about bigger cancers. Let's talk about the war. There's a war that's being talked about. They're saber-rattling. Syria. Oh, the only solution we have to Syria is war. Is military action. Says who? Well, says politicians. Say people who have tried only one way, right? Do you think we have an answer? Yes, we do. I am the light of the world, says Jesus. And now he transfers that on to you. He says, you are the light of the world. Get with the program. Light your candle. That's your answer. Hey, we're going to be talking about it, okay? We're in the next segment of the show. I'm going to come back and talk a little bit about the war and what's going on and what our answer is as Christians, what our answer is in the Armadoxy answer. I'm going to be getting to that in a few minutes. Today, I want to share with you also some things that have been thrown on the back burner. You know, we had Great Blessing. We had the Feast of Assumption. Last week, we talked about the Dr. King speech, the 50th anniversary. And we kind of took a few things and put them in the back burner that I wanted to talk about earlier. So those are going to be coming up, particularly a statement about gays and persecution. Do I have got your attention? Well, hang on. I'm going to get to that in a few minutes. But for right now, you know, we get like letters, we get emails from people. How about a drop-in? Yeah. this is really cool, okay? Like, we get people who send us emails. We get people who drop us all kinds of fun stuff. Yes, I love that fun stuff that you guys send me. But how about a drop-in? This was great.
Hi, this is Aram Krikorian listening to The Next Step from Armenia. Every Friday morning, I get my email from Dervaskin and from Next Step to listen to his program, and it motivates me. It makes me very happy. I feel like I'm back in church and with the presence of the Dervaskin at my side, and it makes my life a lot more smoother and happier whenever I listen to his voice and this program, which I'm very thankful for. Last 4 to 5 years, I've been overseas in Iraq, Jordan, and Armenia. Every single Friday, I listen to it, and I look forward to it always. Thank you, and have a good day.
Well, thank you, Aram. Yes, Aram Krikorian, a dear friend, visiting from Armenia, stopped by the Epostle Studio. We had a chance to catch up on life and a lot of good things, but he also had a few minutes to make that commercial for us, which I gotta tell you, I'm so touched by it. Yeah. Hey, listen, you can make a commercial for us. Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, you could hear your voice and have thousands of people hearing your voice on The Next Step next week, you know? Yeah. And you don't have to come down to Glendale. Now, wait, you are welcome to come to Glendale. I don't know what your level of tolerance for pain is, but you're welcome to come to Glendale. Or you can use the miracle of technology and leave us a message. How about that? Very easy to do. Love to hear from you, too. You can leave a message at the In His Shoes hotline. It's 626, area code in the United States, 626-275-AMEN. Of course, in Armenian, we pronounce it Amen. A-M-E-N on your dial. What is that? 2636, right? So 626-275-2636. That's the full 10 digits, and leave a message. Hey, Aram, it was great to see you. Congratulations on all the good things that are happening. Look forward to seeing you soon. As I said earlier today, we're going to be talking about lighting that candle instead of cursing the darkness. It's easy to curse the darkness. It's easy to see the negativity in the world. But how about lighting the candle and being that means of change in this world? And before we do that, because the segue is so perfect, I'm going to play the song of the day. And that is A Candle in the Darkness. It comes to us from a new artist. And it comes to me by way of her proud uncle. He happens to be my parish council chairman. He sent me this link and sent it to, like all good proud uncles, sent it to his entire church community and says, you've got to hear what my niece has just recorded. Her name is Lara Derbedrosian. She's recorded the song called Peaceful World, with a lot of hopes and a lot of dreams for exactly that, a peaceful world.
What if there's a world out there where everybody shares and everybody cares about one another? A world with peace and smiles, with joy in every mile until it ends. No more war and no more sadness. Someday I'll find it. No more war and no more sadness, and drop the Let's live in a hopeful life where everybody prays and everybody's grace is shared among others. A life full of love in a selfless, caring way until we're there. No more war and no more sadness, and drop the act of madness till it ends. But if there's a world find it. But if there's a world out there, I hope someday we'll find
song and dream and singer voice. That is Lara Der Bedrosian. She is 11 years old, has a lot of promise for the future, and we only wish her well as we do for the dream that she has, the wish that she has as expressed in that dream. We'll definitely put a link on today's show notes. You do want to check it out. And hey, do me a favor, pass it around, you know, take that link and share it with your friends. Let people see this beautiful talent and the message that's coming out of the mouths of babes. You know, our Lord tells us out of the mouths of babes come these profound, profound truths. And we as people have to listen. You know, we always assume that somehow we have the secrets and we're going to teach children a thing or two. Hey, listen, we have a thing or two to learn from them. The purity, the innocence of the soul. And I think you heard it in that song. So open your heart to that too. Share that song with your friends, with your families. Tell the world that there are children, there are young people who are dreaming about peace.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world as one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause out on the edge of darkness there rides a peace train. Take this country, yeah, come take me home again. Now I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun.
Well, here we are on the brink of war again. We're talking about going into Syria. Bombing, shelling, military action, whatever way you want to call it, however you want to call it, it's war. And it seems like we don't learn from our past, so we are determined to relive our past, to relive the same mistakes. It seems like we are in a day and age when war should be something of the past, but we're not there, are we? We still want to resolve our problems in the same old ways that have not worked in the past. So let's talk a little bit about that. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to Compass. If not, please do. Compass, of course, by Linda Zadoyan on the Epostle Network. Last Saturday, we went out to an anti-war demonstration in Los Angeles, right in the heart of downtown Los Angeles. A few hundred people assembled right on the street corner and talking and chanting. It was effective to some extent. Of course, the district that we were in, downtown Los Angeles, is jam-packed during the week. We were there on the weekend. Very little cross-traffic, but there was probably some strategy in that, too. I don't think it was an effective strategy, but anyway, it was what they had set up. And we went along to protest, you know, protest invading Syria, of going into Syria and killing. In other words, there has to be better ways of resolving our problems. And unfortunately, this protest turned into a protest against the government. And honestly, it wasn't something that we wanted to do. We had gone there to talk about peace, to talk about love, to talk about alternatives to military action. There has to be alternatives, right? And, it's a really simple thing. If you're a Christian, you've got to believe that you have a weapon that is greater than the violence that's being tossed out there. Well, one thing led to another, and all of a sudden this demonstration turned into an anti-government thing. And, I have strong feelings about that. I feel like, okay, you can protest the government, but there is something about it when it gets very extreme. Like America can't be all that bad. I mean, there's something weird about the concept that you don't find people leaving America, do you? You don't see people like saying, okay, I'm through with America, I want to get out. In fact, just the opposite. You find people risking life, risking everything to come into America. You look at the immigration, it's remarkable, okay? So there's got to be more to the conversation than America's evil, America's this and that, and, enough of America. Well, I don't buy into that. And I wasn't there for politics. I was there purely on a spiritual level to talk about an alternative to violence. And those of you who listen to The Next Step, those of you who follow in my ministry, know that I truly believe that we do have this option in front of us. And really, it's a matter of believing, and I went into this last week quite a bit in the podcast. You have to either believe it or you don't. And you either believe that Jesus said, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, or you don't. And if you don't, then you quietly resign from being called a Christian. Because Christianity means adopting what Christ has taught us. And ultimately, it teaches us love. Because there are options in the world. You're faced with those options every day. Somebody spits in your face, you can spit back at them, or you can walk away. Somebody hits you, you can hit them back, or you can walk away. I mean, the option is yours, because all we see is, this happens when you're kids, you know that, right? Okay, you stand up, somebody takes a poke at you, you take a poke back. If you're stronger, you've won. If you're not, then you fall down. Well, what do you do when you fall down? If you're lucky enough, you have an older brother, you go and tell your older brother. Well, if the other guy's lucky enough, he has an older brother. If he doesn't have an older brother, he has an older cousin who comes out and they exchange a few blows with one another. Okay, and then what happens? Well, then you get the bigger. You get, my dad can beat up your dad. And you'd be surprised, his dads get out there. They fight for things like children's honor. And that gets even bigger. Well, my army can beat your army. My navy can sink your navy. My air force can fly rounds over your air force. And what do? We just escalate until you get to a point of no return. Hey, I lived through it. You probably, those of you who are old enough, remember the Cold War. Drop and duck. You remember it. I mean, how would you win a nuclear war? Do you remember that? Do you remember the talk about that? It was first strike. Because you know nobody's going to win. So you have that hope that you can get that first strike in there first. And you annihilate the enemy before they could send something back to you. But you know that their finger is on the trigger. And this is basically what it's come down to. We've developed a system of war. And we haven't developed the other side of the system, which is the system of peace. Is that possible? Well, Jesus gives you some very straight formulas for that, right? If somebody strikes you on one side, if somebody strikes your right cheek, turn to them the other cheek. Okay, now you say, well, what does that leave us? Black and blue, bruised up? Well, guess what? There were people that took this system and implemented it. And we have the ultimate example within our lifetime. We saw it during the Civil Rights Movement. Dr. King, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, very successfully used nonviolent resistance, not nonviolent protest. He showed that there was a way of implementing love as a means of bringing about social change. And we saw it in the Civil Rights Movement. And I know many people think that, you know, the I Have a Dream speech was it, that this is what he came into this world to do. But far beyond that, if you look towards his last, the last year of his life, the last several months of his life, he was preoccupied with the Vietnam, which was a terrible war at the time, as a moral dilemma, he called it. A moral dilemma that we as individuals, people of conscience, must stand up and fight the decision to go in and bomb people, the decision to answer all of our difficulties and conflicts via war. And so for Reverend King, this was the ultimate moral dilemma. You are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your vocabulary is one of love, of compassion. How can you talk about war? How could you even entertain the idea of war? Are there ways that you can answer violence without lifting up your hand? And certainly Jesus had given the instruction. It was up to Dr. King, the Reverend King, to explain to a world that yes, this can be implemented. Here's a small couple excerpts from a speech he gave in Santa Rosa, California.
They have supported us in a very real way in our struggle for civil rights, our struggle for freedom and human dignity all across the South. And I decided that in a way, or rather as an expression of my appreciation for what they are doing for the peace movement and for what they have done for the civil rights movement, I would take time out of my schedule to come out to see them, to visit them, and let them know that they have our absolute support. And I might say that I see these two struggles as one struggle. There can be... There can be no justice without peace, and there can be no peace without justice. People ask me from time to time, aren't you getting out of your field? Aren't you supposed to be working in civil rights? And they go on to say the two issues are not to be mixed. And my only answer is that I have been working too long and too hard now against segregated public accommodations to end up at this stage of my life segregating my moral concern. For I believe absolutely that justice is indivisible, and injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And I want to make it very clear that I'm going to continue with all of my might, with all of my energy, and with all of my action to oppose that abominable, evil, unjust war in Vietnam.
Now you got to remember that there were so many differences between Vietnam and, of course, Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria now. But there were so many similarities too. And you know what the common line is? Is human life. We talk about wars as if it's just a number game, as if it's, you know, these countries going out to battle. It's humans. It's people. It's children. It's your children. And I know that there is a dilemma involved in this. Yes, if it's your child, If you're sitting there and somebody's gassing you, somebody's killing you, somebody's beating you up, all you can do is pray and hope that somebody bigger will come and stop it. I understand that. But I also understand that there's no end to that. I also understand that history has taught us that fighting fire with fire gets you more fired. I don't know who made that up. You fight fire with fire. No, you fight fire with water. You fight fire with water. You fight hatred with love. You fight war with peace. I know, thank God we're not in there. But we are in there. This is us. These are our brothers and sisters. These are our children. And you can look at those pictures and you can curse the darkness, or you can say, I'm going to light a candle, and that candle has to be something better than the darkness, because I want it to light up the darkness. Dr. King continued.
And let us continue to work passionately and unrelentingly to end this cruel and senseless war in Vietnam. I can never forget the fact that we spend about $500,000 to kill every enemy soldier in Vietnam, and we spend only about $53 a year for every individual who is categorized as poverty-stricken in our so-called war against poverty, which isn't even a good skirmish against poverty. And I say that that is a great need now for a radical reordering of priorities in America, and that is a great need for a revolution of values. And I say to you in conclusion, that we must continue to stand up, and we must continue to follow the dictates of our conscience, even if that means breaking unjust laws. Yeah. Henry David Thoreau said in his essay on civil disobedience that non-cooperation with evil is as much a moral obligation as is cooperation with good. And I do not plan to cooperate with evil at any point. Somebody said to me not too long ago, Dr. King, don't you think you're hurting your leadership by taking a stand against the war in Vietnam? Aren't people who once respected you going to lose respect for you? And aren't you hurting the budget of your organization? And I had to look at that person and say, I'm sorry, sir, you don't know me. I'm not a consensus leader. And I do not determine what is right and wrong by looking at the budget of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference or by taking a Gallup poll of the majority opinion. Ultimately, a genuine...
That's a small recording that we have of Dr. King in Santa Rosa, California, talking to a small group, talking about the draft, about war, about nonviolent resistance, about injustice, about fighting injustice. So much to learn, and guess what? It's all built on a system that has been given to us by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is telling us that we are all children of God. He says there is no caste system. He came to a group of people that considered themselves chosen, and he says, no, everyone is chosen. Not just you. Everyone is a child of God. Everyone has that opportunity to be with God. Everyone has this beauty built into them. And it's up to us as people to be able to see that. So if you can understand that, where does war fall into this? The person you're firing at is also created in the image of God. The person you're hurting on the other side of that imaginary boundary that you've put up is also a child of God. So yes, it is a dilemma. It is a dilemma, but it is a dilemma that can be overcome. But you understanding that we're all in it together and taking that first step. If you can do it, if your neighbor can do it, if you could convince your family, if you could convince a small group of people, if you can become an ambassador of peace yourself, just think of the people that you'll be touching, people that will look at your example. And this begins with each of us. Jesus was the first dreamer. Dr. King continued that dream. Today, you and I need to dream as well. Dream of peace. Become that candle. You heard a few minutes ago, Laura De Bedros, and she talked about the peaceful world. What was that but a continuation of the dream? And so we all dream for that. It's easy to curse the darkness, to curse the war, to analyze it, to give the numbers, to give the statistics. The better way is to become that light, to become that little candle that says that I will not pick up the gun. I will not answer violence with more violence. I will not fight fire with fire. I'll fight fire with water. That's it. I mean, you know, it's very basic. And I know I talked about it last week with my stories of the chicken dinners and so on. But it's so basic. We're either going to believe what Christ taught us or we're not. And if we're not, then let's do away with all the extra stuff. Yeah, you know, let's have a church for the sake of having a beautiful church. Let's go there and greet each other with our three-piece suits and, you know, kiss each other on the cheek and pretend everything is good. But that is not what Christ was about. He talked about an ultimate revolution. He talked about a war that can be fought on his terms, with love. And what's interesting, when you fight with love, what happens? You only distribute more love. Interesting, right? When you fight with violence, you get more violence. You get the next guy who's going to come, or somebody who's greater than you, bigger than you. Well, when you fight with love, what do you invite? You invite more love. You invite more love. And it is difficult. Dr. King said it very beautifully. He said it is this nonviolent protest, and you are going to go to jail. You may end up losing your life like he did. But in the end, you have to believe in something that's bigger than yourself. And certainly that's the calling that we have as Christians. I want to share with you one more thing before we call it a day today. Let me let Susie make her announcement. I'll be back.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armodoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
You know, every week as Susie makes this announcement, I always think how fortunate we are, how blessed we are to have this opportunity to reach out. You heard a few minutes ago, Adam, from Armenia. You know, we have so many people in different portions of Armenia that write to us. And what we're doing is we're challenging people with thought. And this is, I think, the biggest thing that we do at Epostle. It's really the idea of Gemaran. You know, the word Gemaran comes to us from the ancient Armenian language, in which Gemel means to walk, and the professor would walk and expound on ideas, and the students would exchange those ideas. And that's basically what this is. The podcast is just the new Gemaran. It's the new way of expression. It's the new way of, you know, passing along information. And it's not to say that this is the end of it. It's to say that, okay, here are some thoughts. We'd love to hear some thoughts back from you. And, you know, it's part of the learning process. It's part of the growing process. Too often what we see in churches, especially in traditional churches, is stagnation, not moving forward. You kind of accept it. It's big. It's bigger than life. It's institutional. And you say, okay. And then all of a sudden it becomes irrelevant. Now, you remember back in the 1960s, there was the death of God theology. It was very interesting to me. It was the idea that, okay, it's irrelevant. It's not that God is dead or God can be dead. It's just the idea that it's irrelevant. Well, that's what religion has become right now. Religion has become irrelevant. You could take it or you could leave it. It's not important. We were talking earlier about the war, about you either believe it or you don't. Yeah, if you believe it, you have some big issues. You have some dilemmas that you have to deal with. And you have to be able to respond to it. So, apostle is really doing some things that, when we talk about apostolic evangelism, that's exactly it. It's what would the apostles do? What were they doing back in the early centuries? Bringing the word of Jesus Christ in real terms. You look at the writings of St. Paul. I mean, he's talking about slavery. He's talking about marriage. He's talking about issues that were common at the time. Well, we need to talk about issues that are common at our time. And fortunately, we have this medium. I invite you to get involved in it. As Susie says, you know, become a donor, become a participant, partner with us, because this is a ministry that is sorely needed right now in the Armenian Church, in the Orthodox community. And I thank God that we have this opportunity to be together from week to week. You know, I hate to say this, but you caught me at a very bad spot. I'm kind of embarrassed right now. I did promise you a very special segment. It's actually the Archbishop of Canterbury, the former one, talking about gays, about persecution. And I wanted to share some thoughts about that, but I'm going to hold off on that, okay? I know I promised, okay, it's not a teaser. This is really just going up against the clock. I also happen to be a parish priest over here, and if you could just know what my week has been like, it's a nightmare. So please bear with me. I'll promise we're going to kick off next week's podcast with that news, because I think it's an important one that somehow got swept away. And I know Miley Cyrus, there's all this kind of stuff too that's very, very important. And we wouldn't want to let a next step go by without commenting on all that too, you know? All kinds of fun stuff coming up. Okay, so stay tuned. Listen, I'm going to call it a day for right now. Got to get my feet ready, too. We're going to be walking 39.3 miles this weekend. And do follow me on Twitter. I'll be tweeting throughout the entire walk. So you could just follow me and know what we're doing and what we're up to and what kind of blisters we have on our feet and so on and so on. Also, check us out on Facebook. Team in Her Shoes, of course, all the usual spots on Facebook, whether it's Epostle or any one of us personally, and of course on the motherships, epostle.net and amyshoes.org. Hey, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, Vahe, our webman, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us next week when we will take the next step. Hopefully.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
take the Vasquez out.